This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
New Hampshire says it's going to retry Adam Montgomery for murder, but the retrial is not going to look like the first trial. The assault evidence, the prosecution's strongest material, the stuff multiple witnesses could testify to, out. What's left is a murder case built on the testimony of one woman, Kayla Montgomery, Adam's estranged wife, who went to prison for lying to the grand jury investigating Harmony's disappearance before cutting a cooperation deal. Bob Mata, defense attorney, is with us with an assessment on whether Kayla can carry a murder conviction on her own. That's the question the entire trial is going to be, retrial is going to be running on. I guess let's start here on Kayla. I get it. They're going to want to point the finger there, but she had already cut the deal to testify against, and I'm sure she'll be testifying against here with her own words, and she's going to be butchered by the defense for not being a reliable witness and cutting her 50 different ways in terms of her credibility. But at the end of the day, if you're truly wanting justice for Harmony, and if you're going to point the finger at Kayla, and let's say Kayla is the one that's responsible for her death, if we're going to play the cards that direction, allegedly, if she already cut a deal and she's the one who actually did this, and he's the one who was participating in the cover up for all those years or for that time period, could there even be justice if she's already cut a deal?
Yeah, I mean, there could be. Look, at the end of the day, they're going to have to impanel a new jury. And I think most people in that area have probably heard of the case. Mm-hmm. So Adam Montgomery is not going to be a mystery. The facts of the case aren't going to be a mystery. Mm-hmm. Harmony is not going to be a mystery to most of these jurors. And in terms of rehabilitating a potential juror who may admit that they have some kind of bias coming into the case, it's as simple as a judge saying, look, you know, I understand that you may feel a certain way right now, but are you able to follow the law? And if that juror says, yeah, I'm able to put that aside and I'm able to follow the law and put that bias aside, the judge is going to say, okay, well, you're rehabilitated. So theoretically, you know, they could have a bunch of jurors that know exactly what the hell was going on in this case, mm-hmm. even without them. And they're not, look, and don't get me wrong, they are not allowed, assuming that the assault evidence is not going to be allowed in, they're not allowed to apply what they know outside of that trial to the way that their thought process works, but that's not reality. Like the law, I like to call it a legal fiction. It's that thing where, you know, I always use the term, you can't unring a bell. You know, yeah. you can pull a skunk out of the jury box, but the smell remains. And it's that concept, because that's how the human mind works. As much as they may say, okay, well, I'm not going to consider that, subconsciously, they're considering it. You know, as defense attorneys, you know this about jurors, because they're mm-hmm. human beings. So ultimately, if you're stripping this case down to kind of just its core, you're looking at a no-body homicide built on the word of one cooperating witness who has, a perjury conviction. Mm-hmm. And that's the case at its core, you know, no confession, there's no remains, no eyewitness who also isn't a suspect. But when you look at, like, how can the prosecution rehabilitate a witness like Kayla, you lean into her, you know, you don't hide the warts, you put them out there on the front end. You know, you talk about, look, Kayla's got issues. You know, and I'm talking about if you're the prosecution, you front it. You don't mm-hmm. sit there and try to pretend it doesn't exist, because that's going to bite you in the ass. And you have her on direct. You say, you have her admitting, yes, I lied. And yes, I went to prison for it. And yes, I have a deal. And here is why you should believe me anyway. You know, so you have to turn her into somebody that the jury can trust, you know, mm-hmm. because you know who's not going to testify is Adam Montgomery.
Right.
So in that situation, you're going to have all of the facts that can come in terms of them doing all the insane shit that they were doing, dragging this poor deceased little beautiful girl around in a bag and putting her up in ceilings and all the disgusting shit that they were doing. Ultimately, what you're going to need is that jury to say, all right, is flawed as Kayla is, Adam's the monster here. And one of the two of them did it, you know, and you just have to have them land on it was Adam that did it. You know, so I think there's an end game here where it can end up with him getting convicted. But I mean,
but what if it wasn't Adam that did it? In all reality, he's a horrible human being. He's a monster to anyone and everyone around him. You know, he's a soulless blob of flesh. So what if he didn't do it? What if she did do it? And then what if he's found not guilty here? She's already cut a deal. Is there a way to turn around and go and charge her then for the murder? I mean, is there any levers that can be pulled there? I obviously, you know, new evidence might be the opening window for that, but you got to find it too. Or is she immune with the deal that she cut for testifying against him?
I don't know what her deal is.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, if it's like she got some kind of immunity,
we got to see what that is.
She did. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, no,
right. But what type of immunity is? I'm not
sure.
Certain on it. But I'm sure she didn't get full immunity. You know, okay. But if she got the type of immunity where it's like use immunity. Or it just depends. Like, I don't even want to guess. If I know what type of immunity deal she got, then we'll know what they'll be able to use in terms of what she testifies to. Because, I mean, are we talking about a situation where they decide not to go after Adam, or they've gone after Adam, he is not convicted, and they're like, all right, well, now we're going to go after Kayla? Mm-hmm. Then you're stuck with the same situation that you had with Adam. In terms of you have the same problem, except now you don't have any witness unless they're going to try to strike a deal with Adam. But, you know, at that point, like
could you prosecute both of them at the same time as for doing this together?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's like, cause it's that same problem to which one did it. Like which one, you know, the X
and you need a witness
here. Yeah, you need a witness, and the X factor here is if they could somehow find her body.
Yeah,
you know, like that is the X factor that exists in the world, wherein if they could uncover her body and get an ME, if they're still able to do some work and figure out what the actual cause of death was, which I don't know if it would be possible or not at this point in time. But at least it gives you a shot in generating some new evidence that could be brought forth in the case. Yeah, it's tough. And I don't want people, like, don't kill the messenger here. I have made it like abundantly clear, like Adam Montgomery is the guy where I'd love to get in a cage match with that guy. And like, I'm not even shitting you, man. Like, that is the guy I'd like to put on him exactly what he put on his daughter. You know, the law be damned. Like, so that's how I feel about this guy. Like, and he is.
Yeah.
He's so spineless. You know, the way that he just didn't come out of his cell and he just sat in his cell while this trial goes. He's just an awful human being.
I think it's time for Gen Pop for him, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You think it's time to move him out and smell the sunshine?
He is the guy you want in Gen Pop, no question about it, because he's not lasting long in there for sure.
The drop charges were dismissed, other pending charges against her: felony theft by deception and welfare fraud, claiming harboring as a dependent, receiving stolen property related to firearms. She agreed to fully cooperate with prosecutors in any future state proceedings, including but not exclusively limited to testifying truthfully against Adam.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't go to like what type of immunity she got, if any, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the key to the whole thing in terms of whether or not they would be able to turn around and go after her. You know, cause it's like, when you think about the Adelson cases,
right.
Mm-hmm. Wendy got some form of immunity as well.
Right.
You know, which again, may limit them in some respects, depending on the type. And I can't remember at this point because I've covered so many.
And I'm trying to deep search it, and it's not giving me exactly what the immunity is on this either.
consciousness of guilt, hauling the body around as they did from place to place. And if you look in the details, it's just, it's insane. It's like the different jobs he had, he was like shoving her into like the ceiling of a pizza restaurant. It's horrific. And it's bizarre as shit too. Like, why? I don't really understand why you're carrying around a rotting corpse. Why aren't you burying this somewhere? Like, it's very weird. But he does, and they do, and they stay together, and they go about doing this. Consciousness of guilt. Does an act like that show consciousness of guilt, or is that just consciousness of concealing something? And he's protecting Kayla. That's be the argument. I mean, what is there a consciousness of guilt argument here to be had, whether that be hauling the body around or whatever it may be?
I don't think so, because look, the fact of the matter is that one of these two killed her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, everything that happened after the fact, he's been convicted of, you know, and ultimately at the end of the day, the fact still remains. The problem is that there were two people that could have done this.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, I don't think that any of the stuff that happened afterwards goes to the heart of which one of the two did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, clearly, you know, everything that they did, if all, like, let's pretend Kayla doesn't exist in the world and it's Adam. Well, then, yeah, that's much stronger consciousness of guilt, because there's not this other person that could be the superseding factor. Yeah. In that, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it just doesn't apply the same would it, the same would that it weigh it, or the same way that it would if Kayla didn't exist.
You know, I think this case just goes to show too, because I know there's so many other cases that people think there's some genius mastermind behind these things. It's why they're not caught or why they get off. But this is just another great example. You got two complete idiots. One's already out of jail, and this one might get off on an assault instead of a murder. I mean, that is, and because they're complete loser morons with two marbles between the two of them, and yet they're still able to maybe work the system on their benefits.
Crazy. I didn't know that you had the option to not attend your own trial on something like this. I mean, if you remember back during the trial, there was days he was there. There were days when he wasn't. Days he was there, he walked in, stuck his tongue out at the jury. I guess, can a judge say, no, you're not sitting in your cell. We're going to bring you in restraints if we have to. I mean, that's happened before for people who have refused to show up. I guess, number one, why did a judge allow him not to attend his own trial and then just put him on a stretcher and a bodysuit? And is he going to be able to pull that stunt this round?
I mean, I couldn't answer that question. I mean, they can certainly try you in absentia. You know, they do it all the time. If like people flee and they can't find them, they can certainly try the case without them. When you have a situation where the guy's in custody and, you know, I mean, ultimately maybe the judge just landed on the fact that this guy would be such a disturbance in there that he wouldn't have acted in accordance with the decorum that the courtroom requires, that he figured, you know what, if this asshole wants to sit in his cell, fine. We're trying him without him in the room, you know, because I mean, that's your right, obviously, defended to be in that courtroom. But, you know, there's nothing that stops the state from trying you in your absence. So,
but does the state have to, can, is it up to the state if you're there or not? I mean, is it truly your choice? If the judge says they're going to be here, cuff them, bring them in, strap them down, you're going to be in this courtroom. Because that would not play well for Adam Montgomery if he's flailing around doing crazy shit. He's going to get convicted. His own best interest is to be lay as low as possible and be as quiet so people can't see the monster that he is in person, that he can't help but being. So I would say, strap him down, bring him in for the ride. That'll play well to the jury. But does the judge have the leverage to do that, I guess?
No, I don't think so, man.
No?
It's like when you just want to get down to brass tacks, you've got the situation we're in. You know, that's why you see defendants in street clothes at trial. You know what I mean? It's like you can't, it's incredibly prejudicial. It's so, like, if they do.
But he has the option. He can do it the right way.
If they do it in a Hannibal Lecter type style.
But that's his choice. That's the thing. He can come in the right way. He can show up in whatever it is, street clothes or the prison clothes, but you have to show up. You have to come in. If you're refusing to do it, they can't go in, cuff him, and just bring him in. I mean, that we have seen that in other cases. Am I crazy in saying that?
Yeah.
There was a strip search dispute on this.
I'm trying to remember if Boone, like Sarah Boone, yeah, had the like the shocker, yeah, on her leg.
But yeah, I mean, I get it's prejudicial, but it's their choice if they want to. Like, you don't have to show up here like Hannibal Lecter. If you're going to force us to make you that way, then we will. But you can look as upstanding
line,
as you like.
No, I mean, you can waive your presence.
Damn, there's too many rights for these fuckers. I'm sorry. Hey,
So, Bob, help me understand this. And correct me if I'm wrong. He still though is serving, right? Because I'm seeing.
Yeah, hold on, I'm listening. I got to let my dog, and he's driving me nuts.
Yeah, you bet. So he's got a minimum of 43.5 years minimum still to serve on the gun charges, which are separate. So at least we got a Murdaugh kind of situation where he's still behind bars for a very long time.
For a while, but he's not Murdaugh age. You know, that's the thing. So I mean, if he gets, there's no conviction here, he likely walks at some point.
I hate that she's out right now.
I know. Well, I mean, that's part of the deal. I mean, I wonder how many they look at the deal going, you know, this has ended up in the best deal
totally
to make.
They totally work this system. Look at this. So she's, in my mind, if you're a couple that's both doing drug-induced crap like this, you're both equally culpable in my mind. She's already out, and he might get off on this, but he's serving 43.5 years, and how old is he right now? I'm looking up.
It's going to be mid-30s, right?
Yeah, so 40-some, you know, so he'll be in his 70s and have plenty of time to go ruin a couple more lives.
He's 36 right now.
Yeah. It's a frustrating case. It really is.
Just look at the three of us. It totally sapped the energy out of all of us. The audience, I mean, out of all the cases we've covered, this and Missy Soto, man, are my two that I
Maddie,
can't stand.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazier? The people that do this or the system that can't restrain the very obvious crazy that's in front of us? You know, that's the question. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.